everybody. Welcome to the Looking Both Ways podcast live. Joining you live from the church. Me cooped up in my office, Rich cooped up in his. And we started a new series on Sunday. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but we are less than 3 weeks away from Easter. So start thinking about who you're inviting and all that, those kinds of things. If you're joining us live and you're in the chat, go ahead and let us know you're here. Put your name in there, put your questions in there. We would love to hear from you. But Pastor Rich, how are things going and how do you feel about the beginning of our new series that we just started?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing well. We'll pray that Tim won't get kicked off this week and we won't have the same scary issues we were dealing with last week. So, I thought this week went well. It was, kind of a changeover to with a lot of things, but we started our series on divine love, looking into Easter, and we started with Jesus's entrance. And so I really wanted to reflect in that last week on just how people receive Jesus. And that's what I spent a lot of time talking about last week. And I thought that was, I thought it was good. I mean, and having a response to those things. And I really just wanted that to make sure that I give up. It's this easy opportunity. The Luke 15 stuff is just really important. God cries when opportunities missed. And sometimes we read over things that we don't normally, or we just read over them and we don't think about them. Think about Jesus weeping over the city before he's about to go in and spend his final week there in that sense. That's something to really to ponder and then just think about how heaven rejoices over people who seize the opportunity. And we're obviously talking about knowing Jesus and receiving him as Lord and Savior. And so those are important things to remember about God and his love for us. And so I thought it went really well this week in doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the people like me, I actually, I led worship, but I was out for most of the service. I was running all over the church telling people about what I'm wearing, ironically. I didn't do that on purpose. About Engage Hesperia, our missions effort in Hesperia that we're doing this summer, and really, really excited for that. So for a person like me, what would you say would be that big summary and takeaway and application from this past from this past week, just so that way for those that had to miss it, whether it's because they were out or because they were serving, they can kind of have that context for next week.
Well, I think just as we start on this, divine love, when it arrives, we need to seize the opportunity, like I talked about, to hear it. We got to receive it. And we talked about that. They had to receive Jesus in that way. You got to receive him. You got to understand who he is, embrace who he is. And understand that when he gives you that opportunity, he really wants you to seize it. And that heaven rejoices when people receive Jesus. And he rejoices when you and I did and when anybody else will at that point. And people take Jesus different ways. And this is a little longer than we go into, but that's really, I mean, the Pharisees, not happy about Jesus arriving. Mm-hmm. And mostly that's because Lazarus is raised from the dead. And I'm pretty sure Lazarus is walking in alongside the colt with Jesus. That is not doing that. And we talked about the idea of how our religion keeps us from knowing Jesus and receiving Jesus. And that can be true in Christianity, outside of Christianity. And I spent an awful lot of time just how the different, like whether you're from the Eastern religion or how Islam looks at Jesus or even in amongst other denominations, traditions of Catholicism, how do they receive grace? It's a little different than what we understand it to be in doing that. So I really wanted to do that because people come to us and there's things that keep people from Jesus that aren't necessarily things that need to do that. they shouldn't do that. And so many people think they have to have it all figured out. I'm like, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Right. You talk about embracing opportunity mm-hmm. when God puts something in front of you, right, kind of rising to the occasion. I mean, I think I know what I would answer to this question, but what causes that? So many times, I mean, there's this great book called Just Do Something by Kevin DeYoung. And, And what's the subtitle on that? It's, let me see. We can look things up online because we're doing a podcast live. So, but the subtitle on here is A Liberating Approach to Finding God's Will, or How to Make a Decision Without Dreams, Visions, Fleeces, Impressions, Open Doors, Random Bible Verses, Casting Lots, Liver Shivers, Writing in the Sky, etc. And that cracks me up. And it's, I mean, it's true. Like, I think it is one of those things where we're gun shy when it comes to just following, right? We always have to, I think Francis Chan had this analogy where we treat, embrace, like, you know, rising to God's call, kind of like this, where, you know, your parents come to you and they say, hey, we're going to go out. I want you, while we're out, I want you to clean your room. And then your parents come back and your room's not clean. And they ask you, well, what happened? And you say, well, I heard that you wanted me to clean my room. And so I actually, I typed that in to Google Translate, and I looked at what that meant in the Hebrew and in the Greek, and just really got like a full, I wanted to get a full understanding of what it meant. And I've looked at the historical context throughout history of cleaning rooms, and really just like the different ways across the globe that people clean rooms. And then I invited people over, and we spent some time talking about what it would look like if we cleaned our room. And we talked about it. We prayed about it. We prayed that God would guide us to know when and how to clean up our room. Right. And he just kind of goes on. And then eventually the question's asked like, okay, that's great. But did you clean your room? Like, you know, you never got to that part. Right. Like, and I think that's what happens is we kind of clothe it in this churchy's like Christian life. And you mentioned religion, right? Where we analyze what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it, right? And we'll talk about it and pray about it and look at it from every other angle and every other language that we can. We have to get that writing, that sign. Like, well, God hasn't given me a sign yet. I just don't know. I don't know if I feel called to that, right? And so we get so confused on what God's call actually is. And it's not a point on a dartboard. God's already point blank about what his will is and what his call is in Scripture.
Yeah.
Just how you fulfill that and how he would want you to do that. Sometimes we just gotta, instead of sitting and talking about it, we just gotta go. Just gotta do it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, as James would say.
Well, and at the end of the day, the fulfillment of Jesus, as we talked about, that was the first point I made. Jesus, he's a divine love brings fulfillment. God's love brings fulfillment, whether or not your head knows everything or not. Mm-hmm. You just kind of, it's there. It doesn't, God's love fulfilling your life, fulfilling that void that you have in your heart, in your soul, does not come from being able to analyze all the theological implications of whatever. And I get, well, some people might think that way, but at the end of the day, it's what you feel in your heart and your soul. And some people know, and they just know, and they receive it, and others miss the opportunity because they receive it, but somebody tells them a religious thing they have to do before they can know that that's actually what it is, the sign thing. Yeah. I remember talking to a guy one time, and he
liver shivers.
Exactly. I went to a guy one time, and he was talking, and he was sharing, and he was talking about, you know, what he believed about Jesus. And he's telling me all these things he believes about Jesus. And he's affirming everything that we say you should affirm. And he said he was telling some of the friends, and he started going to a Sunday school class. And he started telling some friends about it. And they're like, yeah, you're almost there. And I'm like, almost there for what? And so I just quoted scripture to the guy. I said, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Mm-hmm. You just told me Jesus is Lord and you believe Jesus is your Savior. And so he looks at me kind of befuddled, and he's like, so are you saying I'm a Christian? I'm like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. Right. So again, we even if our own with our own, and what these other guys were looking for is, well, he's got to pray the prayer. And I'm like, I hate's too strong a word. I strongly get frustrated by people throwing that little religious clip in there that certainly prayer is a way to affirm what God has already affirmed in your heart and in your life. Right. That's what it is. You make prayer a work of salvation when you say pray to receive Christ.
Yes.
And people get mad when I say that. I'm like, but that's kind of what you're doing. Well, you're almost there, but you haven't sat down and prayed to receive Jesus. I'm like, first of all, find that.
yeah, it's a surrendering. It's interesting. In my book, I actually talk about a very famous artist, Japanese artist named Makoto Fujimura, and he gave his testimony on exploring God. And there's a really interesting point where he hears, he reads a very famous poem by William Blake, and through that poem, decides like, okay, well, I'm going to pursue this Jesus. Like this Jesus, if this is true, like this is the answer to everything that I've been searching for. And mm-hmm. And he actually says, I didn't know for about a year that I was a Christian.
Yeah.
Right. And again, like he was living the way the scripture called him to live. He had Jesus as his Lord. He didn't necessarily know that's what made him a Christian. And actually somebody was like, well, it sounds like you're a Christian. Like, oh, wow. We actually just talked about that on Sunday, of just this idea of asking Jesus into your heart was such a, 80s and 90s, maybe even further back, church thing of this, like, have you asked Jesus into your heart? I'm like, I don't really see that anywhere in the Bible. It's declaring him as your Lord. I see that in the Bible. I see a life change in the Bible, moving from death to life. I don't really see a passage where it talks about, you got to pray the prayer, Well, obviously there's prayer involved because you're asking God to become your Lord. But, I've never been a fan of the leading a massive stadium full of people repeat after me. Because I mean, what does that do for discipleship? What does that do for follow up and all those kinds of things? So,
and they all serve their purpose. And who have those mass evangelism things would tell you that the percentage of those with whom it actually quote unquote sticks, is not 100%. It's not even 50. It's not even 30. Right. But there's been the appeals of all those things as well. So, I mean, my problem is not with the method until the method becomes it becomes an addition to scripture and not an affirmation of what scripture is already saying. And a lot of the people who would affirm that would come back and say, now they would all say things. Now we know, we're not really saying Jesus that you need to pray a prayer, but prayer should be a part of coming to know Jesus because you're acknowledging Jesus as Lord and you get to talk to him. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And so when we do our invitations here, that's what, for me, it's just like, okay, God's already worked in your heart. If you want to affirm that by coming forward, and we would love to celebrate that because that's what heaven celebrates. Why can't we celebrate? And that's kind of how I kind of approach those kinds of things. But man, I'm obviously being a product of the 80s evangelistic method and walking my own aisle as I did with 1986 is, with all of that. And then, I get it. I just, now that I've, you grow in your faith and understanding, I mean, again, scripture's what comforts people's hearts. And that's what people need to, we can't be adding, we don't want to, and nobody meant to do that. Mm-hmm. And nobody really meant to do that. It was just trying to figure out a way to let people know that something has happened in their life. And then it just kind of takes on a life of its own, in doing that. And so,
So with that context, coming out of this past week, this is a 4-week series, right? Total.
We lead next Easter. Then we have Palm Sunday, then we have Easter.
Yeah. So where are we headed this coming weekend?
This week is Divine Love Remembered. And we're actually going to be looking at the Upper Room. And more specifically, I'm going to take the opportunity to talk about the Lord's Supper. And we're all, as a whole church, taking communion this week. And so we're preparing for that. And so I'm going to take the time and just talk about Divine Love Remembered. And, you know, Jesus, this is something that Jesus gave us, and he gave us certain things about it. And so we'll walk through that. He gave us, the points are real simple. We have to prepare to remember. We have a process we have to remember. And then finally, we also have a proclamation to remember, because Jesus said, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's how Paul taught it in Corinthians. I'll reference 1 Corinthians 11 quite a bit. And I really use it to share the gospel. To take the communion is a way to remind ourselves of the gospel in all of its elements. Jesus dying, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. You know, that's all cross. And then you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, implies resurrection, implies future hope and second coming. And so we're really just going to focus in around those things and what we believe about it, because we have a lot of people in our church and we have a lot of different people in our church, especially over the last year or so, who come from different backgrounds and different understandings about what the elements mean for us or may in their own mind. And just, yeah, it's good for us to do that every now and then.
Well, and that concept of remembrance is really important. You know, that word remember, and its variations, I mean, that's used hundreds of times in scripture. The importance of remembering. I mean, we just finished a series on the seven churches, and there's a lot of things that Jesus tells them to remember, right? Remember mm-hmm. your first love and all of that. So remembrance, looking back, I mean, that's what the Passover feast is. Even before it became the Lord's Supper, it was a feast where they were remembering the Passover, the angel's Passover. So this idea, this concept of remembrance, of where you were, man, that's really, really important to the Christian life. And so, why we celebrate Easter, right? We're remembering. So,
and for Jesus, it wasn't remember in the sense of nostalgia of remembering the good old days. It was, right. It was remembering in order to bring hope and empower ourselves for the future. That's kind of how I open them. What are some things that you have help you remember or memorialize events that happened in your life? We all have them. You got a whole bunch of stuff over. You got a bunch of medals over your head there.
Yep.
Help you remember of something that you've accomplished. And, but they're not intended to be there. Just like, oh, go back in the day when I could do this. It's like, no, it was like, oh, okay. Let's motivated to move on and do something next. And that's what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be for all of us. Always as Christians, we should remind ourselves of the simplicity of the gospel and be motivated by it. Once we lose that, then all the things that we talked about in the seven churches kind of fall in place when it comes to that.
Yep. Yeah. You get lost in the weeds. Well, mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I'm really looking forward to this Sunday. Hopefully I get to stick around a little bit longer in the service to hear where we're headed.
Let me say this, Tim, as well. We're also this week, just so everybody knows, the women's ministries has been working on, we've been trying to work on a way to help bring koinonia, like our concept of koinonia that we do on Koinonia Night, into Sunday morning, at least every so often. So we're going to have a little thing where we're trying to encourage people to just kind of hang out in the foyer between services. There'll be like refreshments and things like that in the foyer, like sandwiches or something like that, just for people to kind of hang out so that Spanish service can hang with some of the 10:15 service. I'm even trying to get some of the 8:30 crowd to come down from Sunday school, not leave, and just come and see the rest of the church and hang with the whole church body. And so that's this, our first go round at this is going to be this Sunday. So we're going to try and incorporate that element into it as well. It's kind of like having the love feast after we do church kind of thing, but don't look for any kind of big feast.
And go get your feast afterward. You can go
to
Red Robin or something like that. So help them out. Well, awesome. Well, hey, as always, thank you so much for joining us. If this is a part of your weekly routine, whether you're joining us live or just joining us later on, I know most people do because you're there at work. But we hope that this is a valuable resource for you as you're going through your week. We hope to see a lot of you here tonight, as always, for Bible study. But great opportunity. Don't learn a bunch of stuff tonight and then forget that you're supposed to live out what you learned, right? Take that as a call on your life to do something and take that step. So, but anyway, so this is the Looking Bold Baseball podcast. I'm Pastor Tim. He's Pastor Rich. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you tonight, or we will see you on Sunday. Have a great day.
Be blessed, everybody.